Good morning, and welcome to Many Paths, Many Visions, brought to you by the Labyrinth Society and with your host, Christiana Brinton. This episode is entitled, How Do You Seed an Entire Continent and Its Island Partner with Labyrinths? My guest today is an Aussie native and resident from San Remo, Victoria, near Melbourne, who has been instrumental in birthing and supporting the now vibrant labyrinth scene in Australia and Tasmania. My guest is Lorraine Rhoda, who for over a decade has worked tirelessly to bring forth the Australian Labyrinth Network and the quarterly Labyrinth Matters newsletter. She and her team have hosted many labyrinth luminaries from around the world, such as Tony Christie, Lars Howlett, and Robert Foray, not to mention creating and successfully managing the first Australian Labyrinth Network inaugural gathering in April of this year. Lorraine, welcome to Many Paths, Many Visions. Thank you for joining me today.
I'm absolutely delighted to be here.
We had a little bit touch and go there for a while, but we've managed to come on. So I've had many requests from Australian citizens to have you on my show. They really admire you and are so grateful for what you've done in the past decade and longer. So I hope all the Labyrinth community down under is at least listening. Well, it's early. Well, it's late at night now. We'll see. Into the broadcast. Of course, all the MPMV episodes are archived on the TLS website, the Labyrinth Society website, under Media, and can also be found on YouTube under TLS / videos. So, not sure where to begin. If people are interested, they can read your personal labyrinth story in the first Labyrinth Matters newsletter, 2007-2011, that are archived on the Labyrinth Network Northwest website and the 2015 to 2016 on the Australian Labyrinth Network ALN Facebook group. So I'd rather have you give our listeners a timeline of events leading up to today that will encapsulate all that has happened over the last 10 years, because it's been a huge amount. Is that a tall order, or is that doable?
Oh, I think it's doable, so let's give it a go.
Okay.
I thought I'd start first about a delightful story of birthing of my granddaughter, birthing of my first labyrinth experience, and sowing the seed on how we set up a labyrinth network across Australia. My very first walk was in 2003 in the AIDS clinic in Arlington. And to my surprise, I got it. I didn't know what I was going to get. And I thought the experience that I had was going to be unique just to me, but David Gallagher assured me that it happens all the time. I couldn't believe that everyone had an incredibly simple and powerful experience just by walking a labyrinth. And it came down to knowing how to observe my walk, to understand its metaphor, and by taking action, experience the transformation. So the story is, instead of nagging my daughter, who didn't want to have a webcam so I could see my granddaughter grow up an American citizen, the message of my walk was that, well, I had my needs known, so just let it be out there. Returning from my walk, putting my granddaughter into a cot and gently stroking her face, she went to sleep. And to my delight, my daughter said, "Hey, Mum, we need a webcam on the cot." So a simple message, but I got it. And the seed planted. I was going to grow something in Victoria, in Australia, but I didn't know what. So I looked on the Worldwide Labyrinth Locator, and there are only two in Australia, and they were both in Victoria. So that was my introduction, and it was a pretty powerful one. So how did we seed the entire continent with labyrinths? Well, it boiled down to a really simple formula. The Labyrinth Society had created a countrywide position for a regional representative. It was Niece Glover from New South Wales. It was in 2005. And then by 2008, the Australian community was really ready and willing to embrace the opportunity. But it took Viriditas coming into the formula in 2008 with service delivery. So it was a team effort, really, right from the start. The first part was starting in 2005 to the period 2007, and we had to find our direction. So it was Nice who set up an email tree between Lab and Society members, and it finally reached us in Victoria. And at that time, Meron, Max, Jeff and myself were planning to go to our gathering in Lenox in Massachusetts. And again, it was the Lab and Society policy that enabled Jeff and I to have a scholarship. So out of that gathering, we came back pretty well convinced that we had to do something in our community. Meron worked in mental health. She was manager of a community-based mental health service, and Jeff was in an architectural firm that was building hospitals. And I was in the Mental Health Research Institute, so I understood some of the issues of people with mental needs as well. So we, the four of us, that's Nice and the Victorians, we went for a weekend retreat to work out what we were going to do with this really budding need to get out there and help others learn what we did. So we decided what the best thing to do was to set up a newsletter, because we were aware that Cedar Press in South Australia back in 2003, she was actually the first person that had called out for an Australian, a voluntary Australian organisation to work with the Labyrinth. And she also wanted to help people find one where to walk. So she set up a Labyrinth locator. Absolutely wonderful. It was all by state and territory. So if you wanted to know where to walk, you just clicked on the map and down dropped a list. So it was fantastic. So we felt we needed to support that initiative. And what followed that? The other thing we realised that we needed to do was to support both the worldwide Labyrinth Locator, because we wanted to be part of a global network, as well as the Australian Labyrinth Locator. So over the years, we've tried to keep those two in sync. At the moment, the Australian Labyrinth Locator is being upgraded so that, in fact, we can establish Labyrinth trails. So that's going to be wonderful. So finding our directions, the last little bit of that was just by chance, Jeff and I had responded to an ad in the newspaper to help build a labyrinth at the Augustine Centre in Hawthorne. And we went there, and I said to Paul Sanders, the director, I said, hey, we really need to get Lauren Artress down here. And he said, well, as a matter of fact, she's coming next year in March. So there we were. So our making connections, our next step, was really, once that course was set up, the newsletter was used to direct information straight to the Labyrinth community in Australia. Lauren was pretty impressed, I think, because it was really helped make those lectures and workshops and training viable. And I was really delighted, because by that time I was the Australian representative for the Labyrinth Society, because Nice had gone off and went to England to live. And Lauren asked me if I'd be her representative or Veritas representative of Australia. And I thought that was pretty wonderful, because I really wondered what the mystery was about facilitating them, because I'd I'd found it a pretty powerful experience myself. So I thought, righto, this is my opportunity to find out more about it. I must say that I was very hesitant to do the facilitator training. At that time, I was pretty low myself in mood, and I thought, well, I'll do the lecture and I'll do the workshop. But Paul Sanders at the Augustine Centre thought he'd stretch me a little bit and offered to part fund my training, which was a pretty huge gift that he gave me. So I thought now I'd sort of describe, because now we've found our directions, we've made very strong connection. So I thought I'd describe to you how the labyrinth helped me find what was needed. That was a labyrinth network. So if I could put it to you that, well, given my mood was pretty low and confidence was pretty low, going to a facilitator training was something pretty special. And I got an awful lot out of the lecture, which was on Hildegard, and that was to get in touch with your creativity. Mm-hmm. And then there was the workshop on Grail Castle and Parsifal and, you know, the need to really ask yourself the right question. So at the end of the workshop, Lauren said to us, now, if you dream tonight, remember it and bring it back to us tomorrow. So that was all right. First thing the next morning, she asked the question, and Elizabeth Persevalia, she was talking about her dream, which was dressing up as Sophia.
Mm.
And mine was the opposite. I was dressing down. And Lauren said, I'd take that to the labyrinth if I were you. So anyway, it came a time and walking the labyrinth, and I found myself gravitating to the sunlight streaming in the window. And then as people were coming towards me, I found after about the fourth or fifth time of always stepping aside, it sort of hit me a little bit. Gee, Lorraine, you're a bit compliant, aren't you? But the problem was I didn't know whether I stepped left, right, front or back. And to find my direction, which path I was on, I had to see where the other person was going. And, you know, I don't know how many times, but I ended back in the centre. So mulling over this later on, I thought, well, you know, I don't really need to follow other people because I really know the direction. I could stand in the sunlight and lead. And so what I did was quite simple. I rang people. No, I didn't. I emailed them and said, hey, how about it? And everyone said, oh, but I don't know enough. And, of course, I said I didn't either, so let's do it together. So that's how we actually set up the Australian Labyrinth Network. Every state and the Australian Capital Territory were representative then. We still don't have one for the Northern Territory. We have four labyrinths there now, and we're hopeful that there's something happening this year. So...
Okay,
the last
Lorraine, can I just interrupt for 1 second? This
yeah.
is wonderful, wonderful information. You talk about this, the team effort, who and Jeff, and so who else has been instrumental in birthing all of these visions with you over the years? I mean, it sounds like it's been, you've had people in all the different territories and states and...
Well, I think the layers, the people and the layers that brought that into fruition started back in 2003 with Cedar Priest. Not only did she set up the Labyrinth Locator and a call for people to join her, she created personal labyrinths canvas ones, public ones, the finger labyrinths. And she also saw the need for the labyrinths to be involved in pain management, and she involved setting up labyrinths in schools. I've spoken about the next layer of leadership, which was Mayor and Jeff and I. And then the next one was, setting up the regional representatives. And, we had nine founding members in six states. Our current regional representatives or state coordinators are, there's 18, and they're in the six states and the Northern Territory. And then prior to that, our past regional representatives were also from four states. And there's a huge list. I can start naming them, like Joe Cook, Siobhan Christensen, Julie Wilson, Cedar Prest, Beth Roberton from Western Australia, Lisa Shortridge, a magnificent labyrinth creator in Victoria, Christina Rowntree, Leonie Bryan, Dr. Margaret Rainbird from New South Wales, Heather Middleton, and Mayor is also from there. In Queensland, we've got Ramona Lane. South Australia, we still have Cedar Prest and Geoff Trahaire, who has been running monthly labyrinth events for 20 years, Carol Schroeder and Peter Bean. Western Australia, we still have Beth Roberton and Ned Crosley. ACT, we have Alison Meritini. So it's quite a list. The past members are Carol Willis, Trudy Sabali, Paula McLeod, Helen Malcolm, Helen Brambley Jackson, Junita Vallick, Emily Simpson, and Rick Sweat.
And now
But
you have to include.
that's all until now, as far as the network. But there's been so much more new leadership. There's Tina Christensen, who, from the period of 2014, she did her first training in Brisbane, and she actually did a change the name from what, up until then, we were operating as the Labyrinth Society Australian Region. She changed the name to the Australian Labyrinth Network, which was to reflect our origins as Australians, and also our partnership with the Labyrinth Society also included Veritas. So it was a very timely change of name. And at the same time, she changed the format of the newsletter. It had a focus to the human experience of labyrinth walking, and each quarter that was to a single topic. So it could have international writers in it as well as local. And of course, then she got into the new technology that I wasn't familiar with, and made it so much easier to send out newsletters through MailChimp. And I can tell you, she dragged me screaming to Facebook. But she knows now, of course, that I'm well and truly hooked. I mean, so does everybody, I think. So that was that layer. Then we had 2016, we had Mark Healy from Tasmania. And Mark had been for 20 years or so making labyrinths and taking them to community festivals and men's festivals. And he felt it was about time we incorporated. So he took his vision to the Sydney group with Emily Simpson. He felt we needed to have our website and a database of resources. We need to do festivals that he found that were most beneficial. Particularly, we needed a gathering, and the other passion of his was labyrinth trails, and I'm sure there were many more. So what he did was he consulted the Sydney group, and also the informal labyrinth network, which we call ourselves now. And then he did some resourcing. He visited the states and attended a board meeting, attended the gathering. And before he went, quite deliberately, he said, "When I get back, Lorraine, we're going to have a gathering." So all things came out and made sure that that gathering happened, as Mark had had a passion to see us put together with him.
Well, we
so
really.
The next mayor was Emily, New South Wales. She convened a meeting of her Sydney group and she explored the vision with Mark. She saw the collection of funds that have helped contribute to our incorporation cost. And during a period of the next year, she helped refine the mission and purposes. So then there's lots of others. I mean, the work I did was coordinating the consultation across the network, help reach a consensus on the future directions of a legal entity. We drafted a proposal to be a company limited by guarantee as a not-for-profit, and we obtained quotes for quotes for insurances, proposed membership fee, and identified a professional bookkeeping service. So the last layer now, we're getting to 2006. From the Sydney group came Joy Bowles. Now, I must tell you that Mark, when he came to me about this network, he said, "Lorraine, there are lots of skills up there we need." And I was convinced we needed people to help us. And Joy was one of the ones that stood right out, came forward. Firstly, she did propose the Labyrinth as a charity, and I worked with her on that. It was specifically focused to the mental field, but the network as a whole felt that that was a bit narrow and probably stage two. We needed to get stage one done. And she contributed to the research of options for the legal entity. She serviced all the meetings and serviced the planning group meetings for the gathering. She coordinated and she trained us on teleconferencing for the gathering planning group. And this has had long-lasting results because state regional coordinators are not only using it now, but it's going to be a benefit to them in the future as they strengthen their network within their state and territory. And then lastly, what she did was she was the host to welcome people to the gathering. So as you can see, you know, there are so many people that have been out there.
So Lorraine, I want to go back to what Mark and, I mean, he was wonderful to have with us at the gathering last year in Houston, and we so enjoyed him attending. You know, he just had so many questions, and he was so interested, and he was so enthusiastic. Really, really good emissary for your burgeoning labyrinth scene down there. So the inaugural gathering, that was sort of birthed out of that. That's what you said. He said we got to have one of these. Share some highlights, if you can, about what happened with this year.
Oh, it was an amazing team effort again. The program for the gathering was very creatively managed by Tina Christensen, who worked seamlessly with, you know, a highly skilled group of people to ensure that the processes were inclusive of representatives of all states and territories, whether they were at the gathering or not. So the opening was the candlelight walk session by Tina and Kim Adele. With the storytelling, everyone sat around saying how they came to the labyrinth. And symbolically, we had a ball of wool, and that created our web. And actually, throughout the gathering, that web was used. We had a candlelight walk, and we walked that with Ariadne Street, as we called it, for our hopes and dreams for the network. So it was a beautiful start. On the second day, we had a magnificent, first of all, we did a presentation, Mark, Joy and I, about our legal entity and our draft mission and purposes. And that was taken to the next session by Christina Roundtree. Christina, using open space technology, gathered people around, asked them to, or the regional representatives formed locations within the room on, and they had up on paper what they were about, and so people joined that. And so the mission was refined. The outcome was that we had to have more gatherings so as that, both rural and regional and city people could be involved. They talked about how we could have financial stability, the importance of educating the public, how to keep communications going, the need to set priorities, membership model. Now, one of those issues is currently being taken up. The problem often is when freelance facilitators go out into the public to do community walks, they get into some difficulties with public liability insurance. So we're trying to set up an insurance policy whereby freelance people can get their activities covered. And the further education and the mentoring of facilitators was seemed to be very important, as was sharing the resources of the database. So the next part of that is, with Joy's work on that, we use the program Zoom. There were some people from the ACT that couldn't come. And so what they did is there was a new labyrinth just opened there in Canberra. And so there was a connection from the gathering right on to the labyrinth where people were walking it. So that was seen as a real highlight of where we were to head in the future.
I don't know Zoom. What is Zoom?
Zoom is a bit like GoMeeting.
Oh, okay.
Yep. So the benefit is that you can have up to 25 people, and whoever's speaking, they're filling the whole screen. So you feel as if you know people. In fact, at the gathering, the Jill Brum from Tasmania, I gave her a big hug and to say nice to meet you. I'd already felt I did simply because of the work we'd done through Zoom. So it really helped the to be able to speak with someone and see them is fantastic.
Yeah. So are there plans for a gathering every year?
Are there plans for?
A gathering every year down.
Ah, yes, the working group out of the gathering, and might I tell you, one of the amazing things of the gathering, I think, in fact, it was the highlight. We had a lot of process during the gathering, and our Western Australian member, Beth Roberton, on the second day, she said, "Hey, I don't want to leave here until we've got the president's name of the network." So the group were basically sent back to rethink what the next part of the program was. And out of that, all standing around the labyrinth, without a word, people stepped in to where they wanted to be in the planning group, which was set up the Constitution Insurance, the Labyrinth Locator and Networking, defining needs of the membership, which I mentioned before, the spiritual practice of the network, and planning the gathering. So we've got Beth Roberton already set up the New South Wales gathering next April. And their next task, they've got a gathering planning group, and the next task is a gathering in Western Australia in 2009. So they're well underway.
That's fabulous. So you mentioned one of the things that people sometimes have problems with is insurance or something. So and I so I know I'm sure there's other pitfalls or stumbling blocks that people face or that you faced. I mean, it hasn't it's from what you talk the way you talk, it's like it's smooth, but I know we both know that that isn't the way it happens necessarily. So what have been some of the stumbling blocks or that you've had to face and And have you had resolutions or sometimes not?
Well, of course, it's only when you've got freelance facilitators going out into community that the problems, and certainly we did have that. We were invited by the Parliament of World Religions to put on a community event. That was absolutely horrific. I mean, we were delighted, of course, but we had to get permission from the Melbourne City Council. The Melbourne City Council required us to be a legal entity to having public
Oh boy.
liability insurance. So we end up having to get a women's spirituality group to become our host. But of course, their public liability insurance meant they couldn't extend it to what we were planning to do. So to put on the event, which is a 5 day or five walks, one of which was a candlelight walk, we had to purchase the insurance and it was $500. Which was Australian, which is a lot of money. And but they said, look, you can have it for 6 months. So we said, right, we'll make it. Oh, and it was going to be another 100. So we did that. And we end up having a walk with the Healthy Parks, Healthy People inaugural conference in Melbourne. And we managed to put in a World Labyrinth Day public walk as well. So it was probably good value for money, but it was you know, the scramble around to get insurance to find a host was problematic. But before we move on a little bit, I just feel I need to go back to the gathering because one of the key events at that gathering was honouring those that had walked the labyrinth before us, and that's, you know, going back at a 23-year period. The session was organised and by Tina Christensen. So what happened was we had the names of 24 people who did the first of anything in Australia, labyrinth-wise. And so everyone read something out about the person. And then to honour their shining the light on the path for us, we had a lantern walk around the labyrinth. And whilst we're walking around the labyrinth, we were singing that person's name. So there was such a beautiful chorus of joy and song. And we had a harp as a to support the music. And then when everyone finished walking into the labyrinth, the lanterns were left in the centre, which was, you know, holding the space. And honouring our elders, and in a way, welcoming them into the wisdom circle of the Australian Labyrinth Network. So then, once that had finished, the 24 people that had sung in the person's name, then their ceremony was walking out of the labyrinth, acknowledging and celebrating their own labyrinth journey. It was a very special ceremony.
That sounds amazing. Do you have that on
That
video?
was.
Is it recorded on video?
No.
Oh dear.
No. But there'll be more times. And it really came from a very special ceremony that Lauren Artress introduced to our first facilitated training. And yeah, it was a very powerful experience for me to do that at that time.
Speaking of Lauren, you've hosted a lot of Veritas trainings in Australia. So, how has this affected the proliferation of labyrinths down under? You know, I know that you know you've talked a lot about going through the training yourself, and so now that many more people have gone through the training, how has this helped or supported the spread of labyrinths there down there?
Well, yes, we've had it's just been incredible. We've had Lauren out here biannually since 2008, and it's had an amazing impact on the labyrinth here. As I said, in 2003, there were two, and now we have 137. And, you know, the time's really right for Mark to come up with his labyrinth trails. In fact, Jeff and I did a trail run, if you like, from Melbourne to Canberra, and around 8 of their 14, although there's only 7 on the labyrinth locator. Alison Meritini up there, she found another 10 before we got there. So in Australia, in Victoria now, we've got 52 labyrinths, so we're really right to set up some labyrinth trails. And I think Lisa Shortridge up in the Shepparton area, she's already on the way for doing that.
Lorraine, explain what you mean by labyrinth trails, please.
Labyrinth trail?
Yeah.
What we did in Canberra was we worked out an area that had a cluster of labyrinths that we could do in a day or 2 days. And then we, Alison Meritini had arranged for us to meet people there, and people told us about their, you know, their labyrinth, their story. And we got a chance to walk all of them, which was pretty special.
Oh, okay.
One place in Canberra is pretty special. It's called the Gathering Place, and it was it's been created by the, I think it's called the Brigidine Nuns or Sisters. And I couldn't believe it there, you know, beautiful labyrinths, and it took us into the hall, and along the hallway there's all these Australian photos of Australian poets, and in the chapel there was a labyrinth, Aboriginal paintings and stone tools, and, you know, really special. And what they're doing there is bringing the arts into to their scriptures and making very special. If anyone gets a chance to go to the Gathering Place in Canberra, it'd be well worth their effort.
So
we do, you know, we just arrange an area to go. So what's happening with CEDAR's map, we can now see the GPS points on the map, and we're going to set up a little photos of areas that you could perhaps do in a day, and have them link somehow on to either CEDAR's website, or when we get our own website for the Australian Labyrinth Network, it could probably go there. But at this stage, we're just working on getting the clusters together. And then Rodder is working with Jeff Selwood, and so they're keeping those labyrinth locators in sync. And, hopefully, you know, shortly we'll have CEDAR's updating done, and we'll find how to get it out there.
So what you're saying is that you create day trips that include X amount of labyrinths, and overnight trips or 2 day trips as well, or is this a strictly day trip?
Well, it can do. What we did is we did a trip up to Canberra. Did the Canberra labyrinths. This is on the Hume Highway, and then back via the coast. And, you know, we met people along the way there too. I think we did 4 labyrinth walks on the way back. So in that case, you'd have several nights away.
Okay.
Be as long as people want, really.
Mm-hmm. Sounds wonderful. And so you're going to then take these groupings that you've created and add it to your Australian Labyrinth Locator?
Well, that's what we're hoping to do. We haven't worked with CEDAR on the detail on that, but that's the idea.
Okay. So has anybody taken the advanced Fruititas training down there in Australia?
Oh, of course. Helen Malcolm, both Emily Simpson was on the board from about 2013 for her term. And then after that, Helen Malcolm, Dr. Reverend Helen Malcolm from the Rural Medical School in Shepparton, which is part of Melbourne University. She's done her advanced training. I'm not sure. I think Emily has. We've had a few visits of Lauren's when we've had advanced days, but I'm not sure how many have actually gone and become, you know, completed their training. Of course, with Helen, what she has is she now has an online course through Viriditas, which is about transitions. So I'm really looking, and a few of us are planning to take that and then perhaps get together and talk through with between ourselves about that course, because I think that's the way to go for us. It's so expensive to travel overseas. And of course Emily Simpson's work with the Centennial Park Labyrinth was not only a huge benefit to people in Sydney, because it's a state-of-the-art sandstone labyrinth. She raised $500,000 over a couple of years, which was absolutely fantastic. Not only that, it was the energy going in to make sure there were labyrinth walks back out on the site. She kept the chalk labyrinth going the whole time, and she ran walks. Jeff and I attended a walk that she had in a former church building, and walks and talks everywhere. And the overall benefit Australia-wide is that it got a lot of coverage, and I had people stopping me in the street. So that's what a labyrinth is, you know. It was just tremendous to do that. So we've had a few high-profile labyrinths. I mean, of the 137 labyrinths, actually, when I look at it, it's 2012 was an incredible period, because we had the Healesville Community Labyrinth. Now, that was the work that Merrin did up there straight after the gathering. Jeff, Merrin and I had built a sand one first. But in 2012, they had a permanent labyrinth funded partly by state government, local government, arts and community. And then we had the Children's Hospital in Westmead in Sydney with their labyrinth. Now, Dr. Michael Stevens there always talks about it as the clock of the long now. Then we have the one that Helen Malcolm's in. That's also 2012. And then we had the Heidelberg Repatriation Hospital, which is a war veterans hospital. And the war widows there, they funded that. I think it was $250,000, which was absolutely fantastic effort. So you can imagine, with a higher profile in labyrinths, the sort of the acceptability of, you know, people taking labyrinth walking seriously has been a significant factor. And I think too, if you think about, you know, if Merrin, Jeff and I had come back from the labyrinth gathering and set up our own little newsletter, it wouldn't have had half the benefit as being sponsored in the way that the Labyrinth Society did. As I said to David Gallagher, I said, "Oh, David, you know, how am I going to promote this?" And he said, "Well, you know, particularly for events." And he said, "Oh, well, make it the Labyrinth Society Australian Region." And, of course, I think that was, as you could imagine, that was a fairly important thing. And then, of course, with Viriditas, we had, you know, which is when I first met David, I said, "Why aren't you doing labyrinth facilitator training, David?" And so I understood the reasons for the separation, but he said that if ever it was going to happen under one umbrella, it'll happen down there under. And Lauren was very supportive of that idea. And said to me, "Look, you know, keep it all together. That's the way to go."
Yeah.
So bringing the community development with the service delivery, and I think that's what's made it work.
Well, this has been such an amazing conversation, Lorraine. So much information. I've seen many pictures of the Centennial Labyrinth, and it is stunningly beautiful. I someday hope to get down there and visit you all and walk again. I was there many, many years ago, and would love to go back. But so what? Tell us a little bit what's gonna ha what the future is. What are some future events besides the ga and a the gathering? You have talked a little bit about that. Do you have any construction plans yourself for Labyrinths, or are you involved with workshops, or who's coming to visit to give workshops in the future?
Yes, we've there's two special labyrinths that are just happening. One is up near Port Stephens, Newcastle area in New South Wales, and it's a joint venture between a suicide prevention group with the Boats and Harbour and Parks group. So you can imagine this is on a very exposed headland, and the what shall we say, the name of the labyrinth or the purpose of the labyrinth is being a contribution, enduring contribution to the spiritual element. So you can take that physically as well as mentally, emotionally. So that's a very special project up there. And another one is in Tumut. Now that's a special project as well because the paving on the labyrinth there is of a 25 million old stone. And part of the labyrinth there, they've actually got the reflecting the positions of the planets as they were over that area on Armistice Day in 1918. So for that community, that's going to be a very special project. And they've also got for those planets, they've got a beautiful mosaic in stone. So I'm looking forward. That's at Tumut. And for those who know about the Snowy Mountains scheme, that's in that area. That river, the Tumut River, is part of the Snowy Mountains scheme, which is a hydroelectric power. And Christina Rowntree and a few, just informally at this stage, we want to work on a curriculum for labyrinths in schools. And this came about because the state government took religious instruction out of schools, and so there's a wonderful opportunity. We're hoping to work with the multi-faith community who have really spelled out what they're looking for in the schools, and to my mind, it spells labyrinth. So we thought we'd have a look at that. Most impressed with Lorraine Villamere's 12-week program for transformation. And we'd also like to see the labyrinth across the school's curriculum. So there's that little working group happening. And then in September, Emily's got her her inaugural Dreaming Festival, which will be a variety of labyrinths in Centennial Park, and I think she might even throw a maze in for the fun. And then Judith Tripp, she's down here at Perth at Nathaniel's Rest on the 3rd to the 10th of September at Amberley in Melbourne, 15th to the 17th, and then at Sydney, Kincumber South between the 22nd and the 24th. And then we've got next year, 2018, 20 to 22nd of April, the Australian Labyrinths Gathering Network in Sydney. Keynote speaker, Lisa Moriarty, Circles of Inspiration, her topic. I bought my first labyrinth, finger labyrinth off Lisa, so I'm looking forward to actually meeting her. And we're hoping we will have a pre-gathering workshop for canvas labyrinth making and help use that as a fundraiser to cover the speaker's cost, etc. So that's about all I know of. I'm sure there's much more, because what the Labyrinth Network really operates without any, at this stage, without any core organization, and all of the work over the years has been done really through the regional reps working with their community. So there's probably a great deal more out there, but they're the ones I'd like to highlight at the moment.
So great. That sounds amazing. So glad Lisa's going to get down there. She is an amazing Labyrinth person and, consummate speaker and workshop presenter. I mean, she's brilliant. So you'll really enjoy her.
Yes.
But Judith Tripp, she's going to be doing her overnight dream quest on the Labyrinth work. Is that
Yes.
what she's going to be doing?
Yes, doing that in Perth, Western Australia, Victoria, and New South Wales. So she's certainly getting around. We're hoping to catch up with her. I won't get to the Dream Quest at Lower Plenty, but we're hoping to catch up in some way.
Well, it is something not to be missed. I mean, if you can figure out how to work your schedule and manage one, it's really a very,
Oh, we
very
had one
special.
last. Yeah, we did have last year, Judith, or the year before, Judith was. We had her here in Melbourne. She was in. She had
Okay.
a wonderful workshop in the desert and of Western Australia. So, she's had. Yeah, obviously she's needed because she's back again so quickly.
That's great. So this has been a wonderful episode, Lorraine. Thank you so much. We have pretty much gone through the hour. We're pretty much pretty much out of time.
It's
It's
been a pleasure.
oh yes, me too. It's been such a pleasure sharing this hour with you. Thank you so much for joining me today. Many, many continued blessings on your path, and we on the Labyrinth Board, the Labyrinth Society Board, and the Labyrinth Society community are so supportive of you all, and so appreciative of what you're doing and down there. It's just the energy is we feel it. We feel the energy from there. So just it's been
Well, I
great.
must say that over the years, right from the outset, the support from the Labyrinth Society to myself personally, from Lauren to myself personally, but there are many members of both organisations that, as individuals, have provided support and encouragement along the way. And so it's been wonderful for me to be able to acknowledge all of that and to acknowledge the team that's been here. As I say, we were ready and willing and able to embrace the policy of the Labyrinth Society. What we need to do, of course, is to build up our membership, and I think that that the website has got so much to offer, and I know that Jan Lewis is really keen to work with us through Go meetings and really strengthen our understanding of what the resources are that Labyrinth Society have, so that can be filtered down through our communities.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today, and many continued blessings on your path.
Thank you. You too, Christiana.
So you've been listening to the Labyrinth Society's Many Paths, Many Visions, broadcast by Spreaker with your host, Christiana Brinton. Be sure to check the TLS website, Facebook page, and Global Group, YouTube, and Google Plus for a list of upcoming dates and guests. Also, if this podcast has piqued your interest in the Labyrinth Society, and you'd like more information about membership, please go to www.labyrinthsociety.org/membership. Namaste, ciao, and may you find what you need on your path through life.
Good night.